My name's Tony, and I'm going to preach from the Word this morning. And just before I do, the prayer appointments. There's been so many moments in the last couple of weeks where I've heard of God breaking in and changing situations, answering prayer. So it's a wonderful thing to do. We got prayer tonight, 6 till 7. We keep praying because God is a big God who answers prayer. It's brilliant to know that, isn't it? And today we're continuing in our series in Ephesians, and the title today is called To Know This Love. And so it's another passage where Paul prays for the church at Ephesus, and therefore it's God's heart towards us. So we want God to speak to us, and he wants to get our attention today for the things that really matter. The first chapters, if you've been here every week, you'll remember the first chapters are all about our salvation. We're chosen of God. We're adopted into his family. We're redeemed through Jesus. And all of this before the foundations of the world. We were dead and now we're alive. Then it goes on to talk about in the last chapter, in chapter 2, it says the mysteries of God being revealed. The gospel and the church, the plan and the purpose. It's not just you or me in a corner somewhere. It's God displaying his love right across the world so that many might come to know him. And this prayer of Paul's for the church ends chapter 3, which is what we're going to look at today. And from that point, and this after this, when we finish today, it's more, and how do we apply this in our lives? So they're the weeks following. Let me tell you a quick story before we get to the verses in the Bible. And everyone's heard of Walt Disney, right? I'm sure you have. But very few people would have heard of Thelma Howard was her name. And she was a housemaid, a living housemaid for the Disney family. And she grew up in remarkable poverty, really such difficult circumstances. But she became a valued person in the Disney household. So much so that every family holiday season, when it was holiday time, Walt Disney would say, here's a little gift, and it was a few shares in the Walt Disney empire thingy, Bob. You know what I mean. Instead of giving a box of chocolates, here's a few shares. And this happened over a 30-year period. Here's some more shares, Thelma. And she just put them all to one side. Every year, put them to one side. And Thelma lived, her past was poverty. And she lived a very frugal life. She lived a life as if she had nothing. She was just a humble housekeeper. And she just lived that sort of life where she had nothing over the top in her life whatsoever. A frugal life. And when she died, her estate, they worked out, was worth more than $9 million. I wouldn't mind working for Mr. Walt Disney. $9 million. Now, the point of this story is that there was so much available to her, but she never used hardly any of it. That's the point of this story. It seemed she didn't even realize she had it. So all this money, and she had no idea what she was worth, and she lived such a frugal life, and there's nothing wrong in living a frugal life. Please don't take the point that this is a prosperity moment. It really isn't. Not in financial terms. And maybe we too often live our lives like we're on universal credit, when actually it's like we've been given the lottery winning ticket every week of the year. And I mean this not in financial terms. I really have to make that very clear, not in financial terms. But in what God is doing, what God does in our life in spiritual terms. So as we go through this, keep that story in mind. Don't let it be the big focus, but just keep it in mind. We're going to read Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. What a passage. You know, we could just keep reading that over and over again. I think that would do us a lot of good. But you might think, what have I been doing all week? So I'm going to refocus on a few verses. For this reason, right at the beginning of the passage, because of what has gone before, and it's because of the mysteries of the gospel have been revealed to us. God's purposes for the church are now revealed. God's great plan of salvation for all the nations. And because of all this, Paul can't help but stop what he's talking about and pray for the church at Ephesus. We get Paul's heart right in these verses, don't we? We get his heart for the church, which he had planted and poured his life into. But we also get God's heart for the church, for us. The church at Ephesus experienced hardship and challenges. Paul was in prison when he wrote this. So there's a lot of challenges and difficulties going on. And the overwhelming desire when we read this prayer is not to meet the needs, not for Paul to be released from prison. Please pray for me. It's desperate. Food's not very good here. I want to get out and preach the gospel. No, he's not asking for that. He's not praying over the church at Ephesians for the details, the challenges, the problems. He's praying for something so much bigger. He's praying, oh God, we need you. I need you. There's nothing wrong, obviously, in praying about our needs and specific requests. That's what we'll be doing when we gather tonight and at other times. In fact, we are hearing lots of answers to prayer, as I've been saying, in our grace groups and in wider context. But Paul here is not praying for a parking space. There's nothing necessarily wrong with that. But he's praying for something so much bigger. He's not praying that my kids get an A star in their A levels. Pray for that, no worries. But he's praying for something so much bigger. We should pray for the day-to-day stuff. We should do. That's important. It says, give us our daily bread, the Lord's Prayer. But something far bigger is going on in what Paul's praying for. Far bigger. And I know in this room, some of us, I know some of the things that go on in our lives. Not all of them, obviously, but I know some of them. You know, hospital visits, disappointments, loss, pain, concern for elderly relatives, illnesses, hurts that we suffer, conflict that we face. And we stand with one another in those situations as we ask God for release from those things, for freedom, for deliverance and healing. And it's right to do that. But I'm also convinced that above everything else, we need to know the love of God. Wouldn't you agree? That is what we need. The deep love of God. And this actually is what makes the difference when we face those challenges. To know the love of God. We're standing on solid ground. Paul is writing to Christians in this letter. And they knew something of the love of God and of his power. Because it takes that to follow Jesus. The love of God and the power of God has got to have come to us through the Holy Spirit to awaken our spirits. It's a work of God. But Paul writes this knowing for the church at Ephesus and therefore for me and you, there is so much more. Verse 14 says this, for this reason I kneel before the Father. Paul kneels. He makes a point of that. And back in those days, praying was done more often standing up. And so when he's kneeling, Paul is displaying an intensity. He's displaying humility. He's displaying emotion and a reverence before God. A sense, this is all I need, God. This is all my people need in Ephesus. And verse 19 says, to know this love that surpasses knowledge. that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Paul knew, with all his abilities, all of his learning, that this was never enough. Paul was the top of the tree. He was the cleverest. He had everything. He knew the scriptures like no one else. And he knew this wasn't enough. They needed, and therefore we need, the strengthening with the power through the Holy Spirit in our innermost being, right in the core of who we are, that we may know the love of Christ. Paul was the brightest of all. He knew the law better than anyone. He was a prolific preacher. He encountered God in the most powerful of ways on the road to Damascus. He saw God perform miracles. If anyone was qualified to set up schools where you're going to learn how to grow, systems for growth, it was Paul. But he knew he could not cause Jesus' followers by just some methodology. Tricky word, that one. That wouldn't be enough to grasp the love of God. And Paul taught the mysteries of God. So it's not throwing out truth. It says surpasses all knowledge. It doesn't say forget knowledge, forget truth. Paul preached the mysteries of God. So we're not throwing out truth. But Paul knew we need the power of the Holy Spirit to reveal and expose us to the love of God. And we can know in principle, can't we? We might even know the truth. Someone here, somewhere, might know the truth in Greek or in Hebrew. And that's not a bad thing. I'm not going to do it. And if you do, great. There's nothing wrong with that. But Paul is saying there's so much more. Our understanding of God's word is important. That's the basis. And this letter, later on, we're going to read, Paul makes clear. He says the importance of teaching, this matters. But it needs to be in our hearts. We would say we're a church of word and spirit. And that's what we aim for. That's what we're striving for. Because they go together. It's a fusion of the two. It's not one or the other. And that verse also goes on to say, filled to the fullness of God. Let me ask you a question. Is that your life's ambition? To be filled with the fullness of God. Look, we all have lots of distractions, don't we? Just living in Chichester or somewhere around here, in Europe, there's so many distractions, things that have to be done, work, family, pay the bills, the list is long. But what about being filled with the fullness of God as we go about all these tasks? They've got to be done. But let's do them being filled with the fullness of God. I want to be known as someone who's filled with God, don't you?
Yes.
Thank you, TT. I'm sure we do all think that. If you were to cut me open, and I know it don't quite work like this, but if you were to cut me open, I would love it at my very core, is layer after layer, is this man is filled with God. That's who he is. And I just thought of this, not just, I've been thinking about this a while, right? But I thought of like a description, like a Boy Scout or a Girl Guide, you know, a sleeve. I don't know if it's the same now, but when I was a kid, you know, you'd have a, it's still the same, you'd have a sleeve full of badges, you know, brilliant at football, excellent at running, oh, not good at knitting. Anyway, you know what I mean, you get the idea, right? A sleeve full of badges. And we might have a sleeve full of badges, you know, on the connection team. I did a ministry trip. I'm serving at Heart Breakfast. These are brilliant things. But we want so much more. We want to be full of God, don't we? Knowing the love of God. We're gripped by it. And when we're gripped by it, yeah, we want to go and serve on Heart. And we want to do these amazing things. But what's deep inside? The fullness of God in our innermost being. I don't know about you, but I just... God has gripped my life, and it don't always look like it, I know. Those who know me well, but I know I could never leave Jesus. He's gripped me. He's won me. There's so much more of the fullness of God for me to experience than probably you. But he overwhelmed surrounds me with his love. I get distracted, but I belong to him. It's also beyond just feelings. It changes us in our innermost being, right at the heart of who we are. It changes us, how we live this life. The more of the fullness of God I get, the less self-absorbed I am. The less selfish I become. The less prideful. The less self-loathing in those disappointing moments. I want the fullness of God in my life. And to know this love, to know, not to know about, but to know, not to just remember 40 years this year I got saved, and not just to remember that moment 40 years ago, not just remember that moment a few years ago, but to know now and ongoing the love of God. That is what is there for you and me. And I don't usually do this, I brought a prop. You can't see the label, which is good, because I'm not reading from this label. I'm going to read from my notes, but I just want to put that there, this jar of honey. And a little quick story. I'm quite narrow in the way I, you know, with my food diet and things like that. And I took to honey 3 years ago. That's amazing, isn't it? I was 63 before I tasted honey. And I went, nah, that's not for me. It don't look right. It's not jam, is it? Anyway, little aside there. Little aside. Oh, and then 3 years ago, we went on holiday with our son, and he's putting all these things on the oats, you know, the grunt, on porridge, sorry, porridge, yeah. He's putting all this stuff on there, like raspberries and strawberries and bananas and then honey. And I thought, it's a bit of a mess. He said, try it, try it. You've got to try it. And I tried it. And I've not looked back. Well, of a fashion, you know. Not so much the strawberries. Anyway, the story is not about my habits. The story is this. If I said to you, this is the best quality honey ever. It's locally sourced. There are no additives. And it was put in the jar this very morning. I can see you all salivating. Some of you. And I'm putting this down now. And I say to you, oh, this is oh so sweet, this honey. It's amazing. You're starting to want to taste it, right? And I say, I've never tasted anything like it. Come and try it. Well, you could sit there and take the word for it and have the information and know, well, it must be quite good. He said it is. Or you can come and taste. And that's what it's like with God. We can come and taste. One of the Psalms says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Well-known verse. That's what God wants for us, to taste and know the love of God. Verse 16 and 17 says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, out of his glorious riches, according to his glorious riches. And you know, I started thinking about this. I thought, this is so hard to explain, his glorious riches. Even when you or I are full of God, we are so limited, aren't we? Vast limitations. But we have a God who created all things, his glorious riches. He created you. He created me. He knows you. He keeps the world spinning. It's all about him. Take a deep breath with me for a moment. Go on, breathe in. This is not Christian CBT, don't worry. And take another breath and you just do it. And you know, God gives you that very breath. He's the one who supplies it moment by moment. Out of his riches. It's mind-blowing. And I think there should be many moments in our days where we are overwhelmed with God. We are so caught up with him. It's come through in our worship, to be fair. And God doesn't, you know, he promises this by the Holy Spirit. And we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Earlier on in Ephesians, you know, the promise, the deposit of the Holy Spirit in us, the God of everything. his glorious riches residing in you and me. Out of his riches, that Christ, through the Holy Spirit, might dwell in your heart and mine, may dwell in us. Think about that. We're able to experience God dwelling in us according to his riches, not according to how well someone prays for you, not according to your friend or your family member, according to his riches. Are you experiencing this? Are you experiencing his love, Christ dwelling in your heart? I told you the story of Thelma Howard at the beginning, and she lived with a measure of poverty when so much was available. And maybe some of us are not enjoying the love of God in the way that we can. But let me tell you and reassure you, that is available for you, Christ dwelling in our hearts, meaning to take up residency. He's not a lodger that comes and goes when he chooses. He resides within us through the Holy Spirit. And we're to be rooted and grounded in this, knowing that Jesus dwells in our hearts, causes us to be rooted and grounded in his love. And I don't know if this is true. Someone can shout out, yes, it is true. Well, no, maybe you can do that. Anyway, whatever you want. Rooted and grounded in his love. And I've heard this said, that some trees, the roots go deeper than the tree goes higher. Yeah, I've got a few yeses. That's good. I'm telling the truth here. That's good to know. The roots go deeper than they go higher. And you know, a car crashing into a well-established tree is met with a bad outcome. The tree doesn't move. It's stationary. And when serious crashes occur in our lives, and they do and they will, we need to be rooted in God. Rooted, deep, going right down. Roots take time to be established. So put yourself in the way of God. Of course, read your Bible, pray, get with others. These are the things that help us to go deeper in God. Pray this prayer over yourself. Be rooted and grounded in the gospel. I'm not going to be moved. I'm holding on because I'm rooted in God. And there are obstacles to these things. Obstacles of busyness, of course, you know, that the world forces us into this. But there are other obstacles like sin and shame. And so it's hard to kneel before the Father when sin is prevalent, when we're living in disobedience to God. Intimacy doesn't readily coexist when we're in sin, when we're doing stuff willingly and openly and without, you know, really thinking I want to get right with God. If your conscience is bothering you, it's difficult to experience God's love. But we come to a Father who forgives us when we repent. Liz said we come to a good Father when we repent. Keep short accounts with God. Run to him. Intimacy with God is a prayer away. And we're to grasp the love of God. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. We're to grasp the love of God. Grasp is not the same as believe. It's to wrestle with, it's to grapple. We're doing some work here. There is action. It's not wrestling with God, but it's wrestling with getting truth into our hearts. That's what the Freedom in Christ course is about. Wrestling truth deep into our innermost being. Wrestling into our hearts. And the psalmist, you know, another thing from the Psalms, one of the Psalms says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" There's a talking to ourselves to build truth into our lives. Meditating, thinking it out, allowing the Holy Spirit to work with us, to grapple with us. The power of the Holy Spirit. And as we do this, Christ becomes more real in you and in me. His love is the most important thing. His approval becomes increasingly the important voice in our lives. Criticism from others becomes less important. It stings less and less as we grasp and grapple with the love of God. And the way we grasp the love of God is through the gospel. We don't outrun the gospel. We don't graduate from it. We go deeper into it. Tell it to yourself daily. Tell yourselves the gospel daily. What he's done for you. What he's accomplished in your life. You were dead, you're alive. And to grasp how wide and how long and how deep is the love of Christ. How wide. And that's to encompass all of mankind in the previous chapter. Jews and Gentiles. All are encompassed. Every tribe and every tongue. That's how wide the gospel is. It's for all people who want to come and surrender to him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That includes you. If you're a follower of Jesus, you can't step outside of the width of God's love. His love is infinitely wide. How long? Long enough to last for eternity. Long enough that it started at the beginning of eternity. Well, that's sort of a funny phrase, I know, but you know what I mean. Right at the beginning, that's when it started. That's how long eternity is. Ephesians 1, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world. Jeremiah 31, 3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. An everlasting love. God promises to complete the work in you. That's how long it is. John 10, 28, I give them eternal life. And that they shall not perish. No one will snatch them from my hand. That's how long the love of God is. And how high is the love of God? Firstly, Jesus is exalted to the highest place. He's sat at the right hand of the Father. And as was said earlier, he's interceding for us. And Paul writes this in Colossians. When Christ is your life, in your appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. We will be with him in glory. That's how high it is. We will share his glory. How high? More than I can explain. Amazing. We're partakers in his glory. High enough to be exalted to heaven, to be with Jesus. And how deep? The depths of his love. Jesus went so deep for us, didn't he? When he's before God, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? When he's on the cross, Jesus knew it was separation from his Father. He went to hell for you and me. How deep? That's how deep. It cost him everything. Isaiah 1:18, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are crimson, they shall be like wool. Deep enough, the love of God is deep enough to reach the worst of sinners. The worst. So it includes you. Remember the comparison with Thelma. Are you living in spiritual poverty? Are you living without knowing, really knowing, use that jar of honey again, really knowing and tasting the width and length and the height and depth of his love? Do you know the power of the Holy Spirit strengthening you through faith to know him and him dwelling in your heart? And my prayer has been this week that you will be undone like I've been, because it's good for us to drink in and know the love of God. Not just on a week when we have this verses come up in our series, but to really know. Let it grip us. Allow these verses to put a longing in our heart that I want more. And if this knowing of God is a bit of a distant memory, I've been praying that there's a deep groaning in your innermost being for more. And the good news is, God will meet us. It's not about one another at this point. He can meet us and will meet us. Maybe God is at work in you, and Ola earlier gave an opportunity to respond to Jesus for the first time. And maybe you've never known this overwhelming love of God. And you can receive the love of God for the first time and know forgiveness and know the promise of eternal life, know the width, breadth, height, and length of the love of God. And we just need to talk to him. Jesus, I know you died for me. I know you rose again. I want to follow you. I want to know you. I want to put aside all the rubbish of my life. I want to say sorry for all that rubbish and come into my life. And he will. We have to do something about these verses. We can't go away going, nice, great verses. We need to do something. But before we do, there's one more thing I want to mention. In verse 18, it says this, I pray that you may have power together with all the Lord's holy people. And I just want to focus on that word, together. This must mean that all Christians everywhere, Chichester, beyond the world, throughout history, and however long the world goes on for, know together the truth of God. But I also think this means the local church, that there's something about the power together. This is not just in isolation. The church is the manifold wisdom of God. To love one another, carry one another's burdens, be kind to one another. 59 one another's in the New Testament alone. So we're in this together, like it or not. We're in this together. I'm glad. I like it. And there is something about being together. I don't know about you, but I feel it every week. I'm here, pretty much. Something about being together. I feel that power and presence as we gather together. You help me. The band help me. We help one another. It's a together experience. And Paul's prayer is not just his heart for the church at Ephesus, but it's God's heart for us. It is a prayer to be prayed. It's not just a prayer to be explained. And I'm learning. And I'm 40 years in. Slow learner, some might say. Well, my teacher said it. But anyway, that's another story. I'm learning to pray this prayer over Jenny. I'm learning to pray this prayer over my kids. I'm learning to pray this over my grandkids. I'm learning to pray this over you, over the elders of this church, over anyone who calls Grace Church home. Look, I'm a long way off getting this right. I'm a long way off of doing this incessantly, but I want to. And I think you probably do too. And if I'm praying this, it's probably the best prayer I can pray. Yes, I do want your kids to get a great A star. But I want them to know this more than anything. Can the Liz and the band come up, please? Thank you. God can do immeasurably more than we can think or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, according to his riches, that Christ may dwell in our hearts and we might grasp the width, the length and height and depth of his love towards us. And I want us to pray this for each other. We're going to pray for one another and then we're going to come back together and we're going to worship God. We have time. And yeah, so anyway, so I want us to pray this. If you have ever thought, or if you've heard what I've said today and thought, I'm a long way from this, from knowing his love. I know Jesus died for me. I've met with him, but I'm not doing that well. There was a word earlier, come to the end of myself. But he puts up with me because he has to. Even being here maybe is hard. Well, we want to pray for you. And there's three categories. That's one. And then I want us to stand if that's us. If you've never received the love of Christ and you want to, that's another category. And thirdly, if following Jesus has become hard work, it's all effort. It's what I do on a Sunday. I'm sort of going through the motions. They're good motions to be on a Sunday, to serve. They're not bad things, they're great things. But you want to know Jesus dwelling in your heart afresh. You want to grasp again the depth, the height, the width, and the love of Christ. That's the third category. And if that's you, I'd love you to stand. And it's a risk, I know. It's a risk for me because you might not stand. But it's a risk for you. So if that's you, please stand. Thank you so much for standing. I'd like us all to stand and just have a quick glance round. And if you're nearby, those who've stood, why don't you lay your hands on them? There was about half a dozen people stood. And I'm so grateful for your humility to stand and wanting more of God. And I'm gonna pray for us all, but particularly those according to his word. Lord, will you come and strengthen us by the power of your Holy Spirit in our innermost being, so that Jesus Christ may dwell in our hearts. Lord, we want more of you. We want you to dwell in our hearts. We need you. Life can be tough. We need you. Come and fill us. Come and dwell in our hearts, that we may be rooted in you and established in your love. Lord, may it run deep within us, that we may have power together with the Lord's people, with one another, to grasp the height and depth and width of your love, the depth of your love. Lord, may it run deep. Lord, may these foundations run oh so deep in our lives, that surpasses knowledge. Lord, we love your word. We love the truth of your word. But may it go deeper than knowledge. May it go deeper than information. That it grips us. That we grasp your love so deep. Because you're more than able. So Lord, come by your spirit right now. That we might know you more. That we might love you more. Because what you're doing in our lives. And Lord, as those last verses say, it's for your glory. That we might live lives pleasing to you. That we might live lives different because we're gripped by you. Not gripped by programs, not gripped by methods, but by you. And we're going deeper. Come, God, come and fill us. Let's take this moment to sing to him as we sing this song. Drink it in, drink those words from the Bible in. Let's fix our eyes on him.